Before we begin, this is for the person who has done everything right. You've built the career, you became dependable, you created the life you were supposed to want. And maybe, quietly, you've asked yourself, is this it? Not because you're ungrateful and not because anything is wrong, but because something doesn't feel alive anymore. You might notice it in small ways, the tight jaw, the restless sleep, that subtle sense that you're moving through your days instead of actually living them. That feeling isn't failure, friend. It's what happens when you outgrow a life shaped by expectations you never consciously chose. At 5-Year U, we help successful people step back into agency safely. Not by blowing up your life and not by making dramatic changes, but by creating intentional shifts that actually fit who you are now. And if you're curious whether this is something that could support you, we offer a complimentary clarity call. It's not a sales call. There's no pressure. It's simply a space to explore where you are, what's shifted, and whether working together with us makes sense. If something in you is leaning towards that conversation, you can book one at 5yearu.com. Now let's begin with the show.
Welcome to the 5-Year U Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you become the best version of yourself one day at a time. I'm Andrew.
And I'm Kat, and we promise to keep it raw, real, and relatable.
Are you ready to grow?
Hi, 5 Tribe. This is a continuation of our series on how to start your life over again. Today's episode is all about reinventing yourself without burning down everything you've already built. I'm Andrew, and with me always is Kat. How are you doing today, Kat?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to be back in the studio as always. It's a cold day when we're recording, and the warmth of our hearts should just carry this episode along. That's very cheesy. And I might actually delete that, but that's okay.
So Let everyone know your cheese. Yeah.
There we go. Cheese. So today's episode is, I think it's one of the hardest things for people is, how do I change myself? How do I reinvent myself? How do I become this person I'm wanting to become without destroying everything I've already built up?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I think it's a reason that a lot of people don't take the next step towards whatever improvements they want to make. And I think it can be the main thing holding you back, right? Because we're all sort of biologically wired to stay comfortable and to stay safe. And I think a lot of people, whether they realize it consciously or subconsciously, are thinking like, well, if I change, what happens to my partner, kids, work, job, everything? And that keeps a lot of people in their Groundhog Day.
Yeah, absolutely. Great reference too. I think when we're talking about that change, that is probably a deeper fear of what is everybody else going to think if I do this. That can be really challenging. So this episode, we're going to talk about what you can do and how you can do it. We're also going to talk about the fear a lot, because that is what's holding us back. Society has really glamorized burning the bridges and like just blowing up your life. And that's the worst thing you can do. I mean, those moments that have happened for people, those stories that you've heard, those are stories that you hear about 10 years after the fact that they did it, and you don't see the fallout or anything else. And it's kind of glamorized, where in reality, most of us make these shifts a little bit at a time as we seek clarity, as we test new things, as we move forward. And that's why we're called 5-Year U, not blow up your life today, because you should. You. That would be a just, it's
That'd
just too
be
long.
Just of a really long, hard to market. Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Want to say too, Andrew, before we start, is that I recognize that some people are having sort of like a forced reset, and then some people are choosing to reset. And so those can be very different situations. Like, some people may have been through really extreme things, like a natural disaster, and they have to like move to a whole new town, or an unexpected divorce, or maybe they got laid off from their job or something like that. Sometimes the universe sort of like forces us into these things. And even if that's the case, we're still going to teach you in this episode how to change your life, improve what you want to improve without at the least amount of friction as possible.
That's a nice way of saying the least amount of friction as possible. I'm really glad I thought of that. So let's talk about why we don't change. Let's talk about why we cling to that old version of ourselves. I think the biggest factor of this, it's fear, and the opposite of fear is safety. And our old identity is a safe zone for us. It's comfortable. It is everything we currently know, even if it's maybe not as great as we want it to be. it's safe. And safety is that it's so bad for our growth in a lot of ways.
It is, but it makes sense. And it's great to point out because, like I said, in the beginning of the episode, I feel like we mentioned this in every episode, like that's how our biology is wired. That's how we have evolved as human beings. We're supposed to be, if we stand out, bad things can happen, right? But, you know, these old identities, the version of who you are at this moment is the version of you that got you where you are today. So that version of you is how you survive to today, whether you're like had to be tough as nails or whether, you know, maybe you were sick or maybe you didn't have a lot of money, whatever it is, like that is, those are all the labels attached to you that have helped you to survive to be the person you are today. And so there is something you can honor about that. You can thank the version of yourself for getting you to this point of survival, of stability, for getting you to the point where, you know, you felt the approval of your family, of your friends, of society. And that's why it feels hard to let go, because where you are right now might be an okay spot. But if you're listening to this and it's resonating, then that means there's something inside of you that is craving something different. And letting go of all of the things that we just said can sort of feel like a betrayal of ourselves, of our families, of our community that we grew up in. And that's okay to have that feeling. That is a normal part of the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a very human part of the process.
Yes.
To have that reflection point to be like, what does this change mean for the impact of those people around me? You know, am I betraying that version of me that got me here? And you aren't. You're iterating. But that is why we cling to this old version of ourselves. Good is the enemy of great. And most of us are so afraid to go for great because it means letting go of good into an unknown. So we just never try. And it's like, I always wanted to be a writer, but I just never did because I didn't want to upset the people or what they thought of me, or I didn't want this or I didn't want that, or I always wanted to be an actor or singer or whatever. Let me just air all of the personal desires that I have online right now. And, you know, whatever it may be, you have these things that you're like, look, you're not betraying anybody. You're honoring yourself. And it's okay to want the next step in your journey. And I think that's a better way of looking at it. Because I think most of us are like, well, if I become an actor, then how am I, like, what's going to happen when I'm, you know, the highest paid actor in Hollywood and everybody's taking advantage of me? And it's like, okay, first you're going to go to an acting class, and then we're going to worry about, you know, we're going to worry about Tom Cruise knocking on your door and all that stuff later on. But that is kind of how our brains do. It's like we skip all the intermediate steps. We go to the end and we're like, no, I can't possibly be like that. Okay, just maybe try acting one time and see where it is and go from there.
No, I think that's a really good point, because our brains are going to naturally go to the worst case scenario. And they don't do that because there's something wrong with us. They do that because we're wired for survival. You're not clinging to your current situation because you're weak or because you're not ambitious. It's because you're loyal and safe. And that's okay. But if you're in a position where you're ready to move forward, you have to know that the myth of the dramatic reinvention of just like blowing everything up and like, you know, moving somewhere else and starting all the way over is just that. It is a myth. Sure, people have done it. Sure, it's in the movies. But for normal people like you and me listening, there are ways to shift. And it starts with that awareness about what is our current identity and what parts of that identity do we want to become an old identity? What do we want to change and what do we want to keep?
That's right. It's like you said, it's incremental, right? We and just to call it out, your brain is lying to you all the time. It is designed to protect you. So anytime you want to do anything that is outside of the norm, it is going to come up with ideas to prevent you. That is just normal human stuff. That's just how we're all wired. You need to understand that, because a lot of us read those thoughts as like, oh, that's the reason why I shouldn't do it. And it's like, no, it's just telling you that, look, this is something that could happen. Probably won't, but, you know, be aware of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the dramatic reinvention. Wow. Like, thank you, Hollywood, for making everything seem like it's got to be just so dramatic. It's kind of like the noose. Like, let's talk about this myth for a second. I look at these types of dramatic reinventions. I look at them like the news. In our world, in your day-to-day life, 99% of things that are going on are pretty normal, right? We have our day-to-day, we have our good coffee, our waters, our friends, our families, all this stuff. But when we watch the news, we are seeing that 1% of the 1% that is awful, because that is just what people are willing to tune into. But somehow we make that on, because it's on a screen or something, we think that is just how the rest of everything always is. So when we see people doing these dramatic reinventions, we tend to think that's how it has to be. And I can think of very few people who have actually done that. I know everybody, all of us have done this quiet incremental change, this reinvention, because you're not the same person you were when you were 5 or 15 or 25 or 35 or, in my case, 45. You iterate and you have to keep it's subtle. What are you laughing at over there?
You're not 45, hon.
I was just going up by 5. I was just going up by 10. No, I know. I'm not sharing my age online right now. No, it's thank you for age shaming me. This
Never.
Is great, folks.
Never. Speaking of challenging cultural narratives. Yeah, exactly. The real change is quiet and incremental, right? You can go and you can be on Extreme Home Makeover and have everyone just in a weekend on a TV show with a crew of, 100 people make your house look completely different. Or you can declutter one drawer at a time, and then you could change the paint color of one room. And then, a couple years down the road, your home has changed and you got there without completely having a massive crew, break down walls and do all of these things and work through the night. Same thing you can say with weight loss. You can maybe achieve an idealized version of your body with 10 surgeries over a 2-day period. And then, all of a sudden, all this has changed. Or you can start, walking 10,000 steps a day and doing this and doing that. And then over time, course of a year or two, you notice you look completely different. So yes, dramatic change is usually something that comes from pain, something extreme. But if you want sustainable change, if you're not ready to knock down every wall of the proverbial house, you can do that from seeking some clarity and telling yourself you're okay with these little 1% changes a day.
Yeah. I think the key takeaway or the reframe is that growth doesn't have to be loud to be real. I'm going to use our personal example with this. I hope you're okay, because I know we didn't talk about it beforehand, but
I have no idea what you're going to say, but sure.
Isn't it so scary, right? There was 2 years ago, health was our main focus, and we decided to adopt a new way of eating. And we went all in very quickly, and we suffered the consequences of that. I think it was Plant Paradox we were doing, and we're still eating that way now. But we thought we had to do everything at once. So we did the 3-day kind of initiation fast thing. And to say that World War III could have happened,
I think we only ate vegetables for 3 days or something. I forget why, but we were not pretty and happy.
We were not at our best selves in that moment, and we can both see it now. But again, that is, we thought, oh, we got to do this. We got to go by the book right away. So let's change this and change that. So we went from having, coffees and creams and sugars and wheat and all this stuff, and we cut it out. And our bodies literally had a WTF moment of what did you just do to us? And of course, when it's your closest person, you're going back and forth and they're going through it too. They don't have the ability to say to you, you might be sugar crashing right now, because they're doing the same thing. So it's just suddenly the whole world caught on fire, but it was really just, it wasn't that bad. So we're pretty familiar with trying to do a dramatic shift and going, yeah, we're not doing that again. So just learn from our examples, dear listener.
Indeed. Yes. Slow changes over time, cutting down one coffee at a time. Wasn't our best weekend, but it's fine. It's fine. Are you feeling incredibly overwhelmed and burned out and you aren't even sure what to do with the rest of your life? We absolutely understand, and we've been there. That is why Andrew and I are starting a coaching program called 5 Weeks to Future You. We'd love to tell you more about it. We're actually offering free calls so that you can meet us, chat with us, and learn about our program and our framework so you can see if it's the right fit for you.
Just go to 5yearu.com and schedule a call. We are only going to accept 5 people at a time to make sure you get all of the attention you need. So if it's something you're interested in, please set up a call as soon as possible. And we're really looking forward to meeting you.
Part of it is releasing that old identity with respect and just acknowledge the version that gave you you of today and acknowledge it, embrace it, because you did a lot of work to get to where you are. And I think a lot of times we feel like we have to negate or disregard that stuff. But the first step of releasing this old identity really is just acknowledging that version of yourself that's you today.
Yeah, I think we mentioned this proverb or this quote in the last episode, but I heard it and it's really been coming up for me a lot lately. And it's like, if you get on the wrong train, the best thing you can do is get off at the next stop, right? And don't cling to it, because there's a lot of sunk cost fallacy in that, especially if people are reevaluating their careers, their long-term relationships, maybe toxic family members that they feel sort of guiltily bound to, that they have to follow these prescribed rules. There are a lot of things that go into making shifts in your life, but to say, oh, I've been in this relationship for so long. Oh, but I went to school for so long to do this job. That's the sunk costs fallacy, right? So you're on a train. It's going in a direction you don't want to go. You can keep on it and you know where it leads to. It leads to more of where you are right now. But if you'd like to change, the best next step is to get off at the next stop.
Yeah. And I did look up that proverb. It was Job 13. They talk a lot about
getting
off trains.
No, you didn't.
So it's the First Testament.
No, you didn't.
It's not the Old Testament? No, okay.
No.
And anyway, so the next thing you got to do with this is separate your identity from your behavior. And I think that's a really hard thing. Our identity is everything. That is your ego. You are protecting that house right now. And when you try to add on a new dimension to that, you might reject it, or you might feel like you have to reject everything that you were. And so when you're doing this, just kind of embracing that you can add a new habit without completely rejecting the version of you that currently exists. You can still eat healthier without being completely healthy at this point. You know, going back to our example from our personal thing, like we probably just should have added a few things on and slowly taken things out, then going like, we're healthy today and we're going to do this. It's a gradual thing. So you just need to allow for that overlap to happen of having a foot in both identities while you kind of are leaning back and forth and getting ready to adopt more of this new persona that you're creating for yourself.
Yeah. And I would like to remind people that there's going to be overlap, like Andrew's saying, as you slowly change, there's going to be times where you kind of fall back onto the old habits as you're creating new ones. All of these things are supposed to happen slowly over time. Too abrupt of a change can make it hard thing to stick. And if you want to apply this to your relationships too, it's really important to remember that all relationships will change if you change. So we can't make other people change. We can't make other grown adults do what we want them to do. The only person that we have control over is us. And so you can't make your partner want to eat healthy with you. You can't force your kids to start cleaning up after themselves. You have to be the person to embody the change and sort of inspire everyone else to do it. So just know that your relationships, they might feel a little tense at first. And that might seem like, oh, I shouldn't have done this because now I'm causing problems in my marriage, or now things are tense with my kids, or now I stood up to my boss and now things are really stressful at work. Just know that relationships will adjust better with some time and some consistency. And I would also like to add just some kindness to yourself and others as you adjust.
Yeah, I agree. When you decide to change, you need to acknowledge that the relationship is going to change, and it's changing with someone who may not be ready for change. Mm-hmm. So relationships just adjust better with time and consistency. If you're going to start getting up earlier, as an example, you would probably want to start doing it in 10-minute increments so your partner isn't used to going to, you know, waking up at 7 a.m. and suddenly the lights are being turned on at 4:30 a.m. the next day.
Oh, no.
That's a big shock to the relationship system.
Please don't
in this
do
example.
That.
Yes. Yeah, no, exactly. I didn't know they made a 4:30 a.m. Anyway, I think it's really important. You want to change. We don't want to blow things up. We don't want to burn the house down. So we need to be considerate of others while being true to ourselves. And there's a balance there that you're going to need to strike. But when you can acknowledge that, how would I feel if my partner walked in and decided that they were a new religion or a new eating style or something else? That would be a really big shock to the system. But if they came in and said, hey, I learned this thing about this religion, or I'm thinking we could try this thing called kale, then that's a little bit more of a gradual shift. When those roles update slowly, it allows for a smoother transition.
I agree, because remember, this episode is about how to change without blowing up your life. So some people might want to blow up their lives, but if you are kind of coming here because you want to update but not cause massive rifts throughout your life, this is the way to do it consciously and with care. And then, of course, you know, there are going to be moments of grief. And one of the things that Andrew and I talk about a lot, about one of the interesting things about being human, is being able to feel two things at the same time. Not a lot of other species can do that. Maybe we are the only ones. And so you can be excited about your change and kind of sad about what's behind. I am excited that we're healthier and we've lost weight and we feel better. But like, I miss all the fancy creamers and stuff in my coffee. I grieve that. And I'm making it
a Cadbury egg right now. Sorry, go
like,
on.
We're like lightly making it a joke, but like, there could be substantial grief if we're talking about someone leaving a job that required a lot of years of education and experience to maybe do something else. There's grief and loss in that. And it's okay that you acknowledge that chapter and recognize that everything you've done has made you who you are up to this point. You're never erasing a chapter of your life. You're just turning the page to something new.
I think sometimes people go, I don't understand this feeling two things at the same time. If you have kids, you can be really happy that, you know, they're teenagers, grown adults or whatever, but you can also have that kind of sadness for the loss of when they were little babies and all those cute moments that you had, because they were, you know, they are very quick in the grand scheme of things. But that is kind of when I think of change that had to happen. It's good that it happened. At the same time, you can lament the past and, you know, just have some grief for it, because that's just part of life. It's part of the dynamic that we get.
Maybe the best way to approach it, like one of the benefits of changing, if you don't want to blow up your life, is like to not make your change everyone else's problem, to maybe not over explain yourself, just to let people know that your boundaries can be quiet. Because sometimes when we're loud about the change or what we're doing, or if we have a certain tone about it, that is also kind of what creates these rifts. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that, like some tips for going through this change if people feel ready without, you know, rubbing everybody the wrong way.
Okay. Well, the first thing you should not do is say, this is just who I am right now. Get used to it. Because that often just puts everybody at odds. I think the biggest thing is to get clear on who you want to be. And we're going to talk about that in the next episode. It's just having that clarity. And when you have that clarity and you start to do things, you do things from an alignment with who you are, rather than being that person who is concerned about what everybody else was going to think about me in that moment. The next thing that you can do is just have your boundaries. And you don't necessarily need to communicate your boundaries with everyone. You just need to know what they are. And again, this is being authentic to yourself and making sure you know what your rules are. When you're making these changes, you need to know that there's going to be friction. You know, even if you do it the most gradual way possible, you're changing, somebody else isn't, somebody's going to notice it. So you have to have that inner fortitude of like, no, this is who I'm meant to be now, and this is who I'm becoming, while also acknowledging that it may take some time for others to catch up. And it may not be, they're going to catch up on their own time. And you need to be okay with that. The biggest takeaway when you're making these changes is that not everything you do needs to be declared to the world for it to be real. You just need to know inside, like, this is better for me.
Yeah. And you know you're on the right track, and you know you're approaching your change, your improvements, your life overhaul in the right way. If you feel calmer within yourself, if you feel sort of confident enough in your choices that you're not as reactive to other people's like comments, because you know they're coming. If you just feel good about what you're doing, that's good. That means that the changes that you're making are aligned with who you are, and it means that you're not forcing things. Like if you're starting to feel more like yourself and you're feeling happy inside, then you know that you are on the right track. You know that you are letting go slowly, safely, in a way that doesn't shame anybody else for maybe not making the same choices as you.
Love that. I really love that. So I would say that as we end this episode, that you can evolve without erasing yourself, and you're allowed to change gently. You're allowed to take parts of this current self forward with you. Not everything has to be let go of to become a new version of yourself. You get to pick and choose what you want to bring with you, and you're allowed to grow in a way that feels stable and secure within your own right. And I think that is a really important thing. So once you start getting your mind around the fact that you don't have to, you know, be an HBO special when you reframe, when you rebuild your life and create who you want to be, the next thing is, who do you want to be? This is the fun stuff. So next episode, we're going to talk about how to get clear on the person you're becoming and stop kind of having some guesswork around all of it. But before we go, it's time for our glimmers. Kat, what is your happiness this week? What is your little glimmer of light this week?
I mean, my little glimmer is that, you know, the whole town shut down from this snowstorm, which hopefully everybody is safe and sound. But, you know, it kind of gives this all introvert over here permission to just be inside my house all weekend. There's no like, oh, you should take a walk, and no, sorry, it's negative 30 wind chill, you know, like I love it. I'm having like cocoon time, and it's very sparkly for me. How about you?
For me, you know what, it was really cold, but I went out yesterday and I just kind of had a day to myself, and yeah. It really was about kind of embracing that person that I am. And there were moments where I had to check in and kind of go, is this okay? Is this allowed? And I'm like, yes, you're fine. But, you know, becoming that next version of yourself is always fun and an iterative process. And I really enjoyed it. I just enjoyed going around doing my things. I found us some cool things to list on our on eBay and stuff. So it was really fun.
It's always a good day when you can thrift, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, dear listener, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time. And remember, you don't have to burn your life down to build something better. We'll see you next time.
Hey guys, quick disclaimer. We're podcasters on the internet. If you need to seek professional help, please go see your healthcare professional.